going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Stephen A. Smith. Is Jason Tatum properly appreciated? He doesn't get the recognition that should come his way. It's a jumping off point here today as the Celtics begin their championship defense. The season starts, Keith,
That's right, you will. Brand new year.
On Sunday, game one against the Orlando Magic at TD Garden.
Yeah, this is it. We've been waiting all year because, let's be honest, when the team is as good as the Celtics are, and we've seen it in years past, and we've even kind of dealt with it with the Patriots for a number of years, the regular season, like, there are certain moments you get a little bit more excited for than others, but it's kind of formality. Like, you're like, all right, get to the playoffs, be as healthy as possible, and then from here is when the season really begins. And it's a nice warm-up against a team like Orlando. Nobody's picking Orlando to win or anything like that. But you sort of start there and see if this team can repeat. And for the Celtics, not only would it be the first repeat in the NBA in a number of years, it'd be the first repeat in Celtics history in decades. Like, it's been forever since they've won two in a row here.
Right. Again, I know people tend to misremember the 80s, as we illustrated earlier today.
Yeah.
But Bird never repeated.
Yeah, they got a coach fired. They got swept by the Bucks. Like, there was some downtime in there.
Cowens and Havlicek never repeated. I think most people are aware of Pierce and Garnett. Didn't even win two.
Right.
Never mind repeated. So that's something you can do that hasn't been done since the late 60s with the Boston Celtics. You can jump in. All your thoughts on the Magic series, if you have them. Both Keith and I think it's going to be a walkover. I did see a tweet at Jones WEEI at Keefe21 earlier today. We've become green teamers, Keefe. The Magic take it at least six games.
I mean, what?
I mean, if you feel that way, fine. Go ahead. 617-779-7937. I personally don't find the Orlando series overly interesting. I don't think the Celtics would have much trouble with the Knicks in round two, but I find that to be a more interesting series. Cleveland definitely come the NBA Finals for sure. But I don't find this match up to have much juice to it. I am interested in Jason Tatum and whether or not we properly appreciate him in this town and what he's going to do in this postseason run, because last year he did not shoot it well. Sure, he led the team in points and rebounds and assists in the postseason. I'm not saying that's nothing, but he was inefficient and he was outplayed by Jaylen Brown, and that was against a really ridiculously easy path to the finals. So Tatum, to me, beyond Jaylen Brown and his injury, we spent a lot of time talking about that this week, last week, et cetera. You can still jump in on that. How Tatum handles the postseason, to me, is very interesting. I know you, on some level, agree with Stephen A. Smith. You think he's underappreciated.
Yeah, I kind of do. I think, you know, it's a guy that is going to be All-NBA first team for the fourth time in his career this year, right? Like, I think everybody sort of assumes, like, he definitely will be first team All-NBA. And looking this up, I was pretty surprised to see. That would equal the number of first team All-NBAs by Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen combined.
In their careers? Not their Celtics careers. In their careers.
In their Celtics careers, it blows it out of the water.
I mean, so that is something.
So Garnett only was first-team All-NBA four times. Okay. Pierce and Allen never were first-team All-NBA.
I see. So it was all Garnett.
But I juiced up the stat a little bit. It's a cooler stat that way.
But that makes a little more sense. But still, so he will make more first-team All-NBA teams than those.
Or as many. It'll tie. Because Garnett himself is four. This will be Tatum's fourth.
He would match the second iteration of the big three.
Yeah. And so he's not an MVP. Really, Garnett came to Boston as already an MVP. And some of the guys that we compare Tatum to now have won league MVP. So he's not that. But as much as I love Paul Pierce, Jason Tatum's career to this point has been so much better than Pierce's. And they have the title. The title is equal. Now, Pierce has the finals MVP, if you want to get into that and how much that weighs in on it. But what a second title could possibly mean for Tatum is through the roof. But even before the second title, I do think, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's he's taken for granted because he's been so good his entire career. They've been a playoff team his entire career. And people were getting impatient even when he was like 23 years old as to why he hadn't won a title yet. And then he does break through. And yeah, he's just so consistent. I mean, this year his assist total is higher than it's ever been. His rebounding is up from a year ago. His scoring has been super consistent. His teams always win a ton of games. They're always a contender. So yeah, I think he is kind of overlooked a little bit when we talk about like great players.
Yeah, underappreciated. I'd probably skew that way. I mean, I certainly take a little digs here and there, and I expect a lot out of him, which is why I do that. If you want to say he's a little taken for granted, like I think that's all fair, and you're probably right. Do you have theories on why that is, Keith? If he is underappreciated, you feel that way, and perhaps you disagree on the phone, 617-779-7937. If you feel that he is underappreciated, taken for granted, et cetera, why do you think that is?
I mean, it could be a number of things. He doesn't have the biggest personality in the world, right? So he's a little bit dull.
Stephen A. brought that up. Yeah. I think that's a factor. I think
that is a little bit of it. And also, he's in a league where I think a lot of the attention is still on the guys that are a little bit older than him, right? So you're in a league with LeBron, Curry, and Durant. But then you also have like the international guys that have won MVPs like Jokic and Giannis. So you're in the league with all these guys at the same time. It's kind of hard to stand out from there. And he's never truly like I don't think he's like a real MVP candidate, and yet he's first team all NBA all the time. So it's like he's top five. Nobody's arguing that he's the best player in the NBA, but he's always consistently top five. His team is really good, which can work both for you and against you, meaning everybody around him is really good, right? Like Jaylen Brown's good. They have the best roster, in my opinion. So maybe you don't stand out quite as much. But yeah, I don't know. I think the personality probably does have a big thing to do with it. Like Tim Duncan didn't get a ton of credit until maybe the end of his career. Kawhi Leonard, I feel like it's bypassed sometimes when talking about the best players of like this generation when he's really right up there. So that it could be as simple as that.
So the personality thing I think is real and probably works against him. That's not really fair. Your personality is your personality. Duncan's a great comp. Even Curry to a degree. I mean, Curry's not the biggest personality.
No, but I guess the way he plays is like unique enough where it's like that stands out.
I mean, you effectively change the game.
You ruined the league.
The way the game is played.
you and LeBron single-handedly ruined the league.
You ruined the league in some ways. So that one's not really Tatum's fault. I think Stephen A., certainly our caller in the van earlier today, gave much too much credit for not getting in any trouble off the court.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving him credit for
that. That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to give you credit for that because you haven't been arrested? Like, that's a low, low bar.
Right.
So it's a fair thing to point out. He seems like a good enough guy. Not that we ever really know these guys. But fine, chalk that up in his favor. I think what works against him is he wasn't the finals MVP. He wasn't the Eastern Conference final MVP last year, though he was when they got to the finals 2 years prior.
Right.
And lost to the Warriors. He was the conference finals MVP against the Bucks that year. But, you know, to me, I just look at it and I say, or I'm sorry, was that again? Who was that? Was that Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference
or
finals?
Was it the Heat?
Was it the Heat? I think it was.
Bucks, then Heat.
That was Miami. Yeah. Milwaukee was round two. So I think what works against him is there's a little bit of he didn't carry the team to a title. And there's a little bit of he still isn't viewed as clutch, which is maybe fair or unfair. He just had a massive shot.
Yeah, he's had his moments.
To force overtime against New York. He came through in a big way in an elimination game against Philadelphia a few years ago. I just referenced that Milwaukee series in round two where he had a great, great game in game six. So it's not to say he's never done it, but people want to see it more. Sidebar topic, when you're bringing up the second iteration of the big three with Garnett and Allen and Pierce, who would you rather have with the game on the line? Like, we agree that Tatum's a better player than Pierce. Who would you rather have taking that shot?
I'd rather have Pierce. Now, I'm sure you can find stats that would suggest maybe I shouldn't, but I would just, I would take Pierce.
But I think this is part of it.
But
I
that's also worked against great players in the past. Yeah. I mean, LeBron James for years and years and years, it was like, yeah, he's unbelievable, but game on the line? Like, do you want somebody else? And I think you did. And then he just kind of overwhelmed everybody, and it was just sheer number of MVPs and titles, even if you take one of away for being in the bubble.
So I think that works against Tatum. And I think you consistently see that. I don't believe in him. He's not going to carry a team. He's not going to lead a team. I don't trust him in the clutch, this and that. And I agree with some of that. And by the way, that's not a Tatum thing. That's not unique to him. You highlighted LeBron. I mean, Magic Johnson won multiple championships by the mid-80s and was referred to as Tragic Johnson. Like,
right.
There's a lot of that with NBA players. And so you can make a case none of them are properly appreciated. They're all underappreciated.
That might be true.
And so Tatum's just in that group. I don't think it's unique to him. But if you feel that way, why? And I think that clutch thing and not carrying the team to a title a year ago works against him. So how do you change that? How do you rectify that? Well, you hit some big shots.
Yeah. Finals MVP, that shuts
a
lot of people up.
Trying to repeat. I mean, I just think repeating would go a long way,
Keith. Oh, for sure.
But you're right. Finals MVP would go a long way to changing that. So how does Tatum be properly appreciated? How is he, no longer taken for granted? Be the best player on a championship team, the NBA Finals MVP, and then turn around and win back-to-back. If you check those two boxes, I'm going to start to agree with Tatum and say, well, what are we going to say now?
Oh, yeah.
There won't be much left.
Yeah, no, I know. And I know some might say, well, it's only one award, Finals MVP, right? Like, it's only one thing with all these other things that he has accomplished. But when you get down to comparing the best of the best, all of the best players, I would say, like the at the tippy top, best players in the NBA over the last 10, 20 years, I think they've all been Finals MVP.
Yeah, Curry took forever, but he broke through and won against the Celtics.
Garnett's an example, I guess, of a guy that wasn't. There's been some other league MVPs like James Harden, although that's another example. Like what people say about James Harden, they can't stand him. You would think he sucks if you listen to people talk about James Harden. But if he wants to be compared to Giannis and LeBron and Kawhi and Durant and Curry and Jokic, these are all recent Finals MVPs. So if he hits that, all right. Like, what are you going to do? Because that really was something that was being held over Curry's head for a little bit, and he did it against the Celtics a few years ago. But prior to that, he had won three titles, but it was hard for people to put them in, like, an all-time top 10 when he's surrounded by guys that were, like, Bird and Magic and Jordan, like, multiple Finals MVPs.
Do you think, I know you think to this point, team success hurts him when it comes to the MVP vote compared to SGA and Jokic and guys like that? Do you think at some point the team success is so overwhelming, they win back-to-back, and, you know, he's Finals MVP? At some point, that is going to help him where people look at it and go, well, he was the best player.
On the best team for how many years?
And they've won back-to-back, and he's not an MVP. We better fix that. Like, at some point, and I don't know if back-to-back is enough or two championships is enough, but at some point, that team success is going to work in his favor to win an MVP.
Wait, you're talking about finals or regular season?
No, I'm talking about regular season. Like,
if they
win back to back,
yeah.
I think next year he's going to go in as a guy who is looked at as, again, we owe him one. He's due for one. He's going to be, I think, higher up the MVP ladder next year than he is this year. I think the team success will stop working against him and start working in his favor, which, by the way, if you're the best player on the best team, you should be in the MVP mix.
Yeah, you should. I don't know. Like, looking at it, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Curry won it before Durant got there.
League MVP?
League MVP.
He won it before Durant got there,
So I think, like, league MVP, I think for the most part, it is guys that don't have the greatest supporting cast. They might have good team success. But here are the last several MVPs, right? Curry won it back-to-back years in 15 and 16. Then Westbrook, one of those triple-double years, so he wasn't playing with Durant anymore. Harden with Houston. What was that? Maybe Chris Paul's year? I forget who he was teamed up with.
They were like a 60-win team that were led by Harden. Yep.
Giannis won it back-to-back. Best player was Chris Middleton. Jokic won it back-to-back. Best player was Jamal Murray.
Yep.
Joel Embiid. And then Jokic won it last year. And this year is looking like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, in a weird way, having Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, White, and Holiday, I think does kind of hurt him a little bit.
I think if
in that specific voting.
I think, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I think you want to launch yourself into true recognition and MVP candidacy, repeat. And so, look, I think they're in a good spot to repeat this year. You said earlier, I mean, you like Cleveland more than most.
I do.
I don't think Cleveland's going to take him down.
I don't.
Orlando's not going to get a game off him. I think the Knicks would be an interesting series, but the Knicks aren't going to beat them.
No.
So, yeah, they're in a real good spot to do it. And so you want Tatum to be properly appreciated. You want him to no longer be overlooked, repeat, and be the best player. And if you do those two things, which I think the Celtics are in a good spot for, we'll see if he's up to it, then he'll get his just due. You don't need to cry about it. He'll get his just due eventually.
It's funny, though. You made a good point about how just all the top NBA guys get picked apart. Like, them and quarterbacks are the most examined, most, like, teared down athletes.
But that is what makes it fun. Like, that's why it's fun to argue about quarterbacks and debate quarterbacks, because we nitpick even the best ones.
Well,
like,
those
they
are the
suck.
Ones that are most responsible for your team winning a title. It's hard to do that in baseball because
there are still people who are like, Josh Allen's never won squat.
Yeah.
And I don't even like Josh Allen. And same thing in the NBA. It's like, we nitpick Tatum. So that is what makes it fun, and I agree. They are singularly most responsible for team success.
But, like, it's certainly not unique to Tatum, right? So this isn't, like, a Boston bias or anything like that.
No, people act that way, but it's not. Yeah.
But if you go back to when Golden State won back-to-back titles with Durant, it was sort of all right, whose team is it? And in a weird way, both Curry and Durant got criticized for it. So Curry let Durant come in and be Finals MVP back-to-back years, but then Durant had to join a team that had already won a title. So it was like you could rip both guys, and they kind of did. And that's why I think Curry has had such a big boost after the fact, because Durant has been to a bunch of teams and failed since he left Curry. Curry won another title. So I feel like that debate, like, who's better, Curry or Durant?
Oh, Curry.
Curry.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas at the time, there might have been a little bit more of a debate. Like, Durant's an insanely talented player and is one of the most skilled players ever. But people look at it like you had to team up with a winner, and then after you left that team, you haven't been able to do anything.
Right.
Besides score a bunch of points.
Honestly, if you're a Celtics fan and you feel that way about Durant, that's exactly how you should feel right now about Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know Durant was the Finals MVP in that situation, but it's like Durant had to go somewhere and be carried by somebody else. It's certainly how I look at it now, and even how I looked at it at the time, even if Durant was the Finals MVP. Last year, Tatum kind of carried to a championship.
But didn't have to go anywhere.
He
stayed here, and he's still the face of the team.
He is, but who was better in the postseason last year? I know people get all hot and bothered when you say he got carried to a title, which may be too strong, but Jaylen was the better player. Tatum's efficiency fell off the face of the earth in the postseason last year. And so I think in some ways that is why people don't properly appreciate Tatum. So it's up to you, Jason. Jaylen Brown isn't healthy. I don't think, let's see, on Sunday, I don't think he's fully healthy. So not only is there an opportunity to do it because Jaylen's probably going to have lower usage and be leaned on less, the team needs you more now. So go do that, and I think you'll be properly appreciated. Do you agree with Stephen A. Smith? He's not properly appreciated. 617-779-7937. We can start to mix this in as well, Keith. Celtics or the field? Wide open, I think, for the Celtics. If you had to vote right now, would you take the field or the Celtics?
So I'm going to take the Celtics, and it's because I think they're 100% getting to the finals. As much as I like the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell, and I think that might be a series, but I'm 100% taking them to get to the finals. I think the Thunder are the best team in the West. I will take the Celtics right now in like a nail-biter series over the Thunder, but the reason why I'm a little bit more confident in the overall answer is because no guarantee the Thunder get there. And if it's anybody other than the Thunder, I have quite a bit of confidence. And if it is the Thunder, I have like a smidge of confidence.
So
to answer your question, I'll take the Seas.
And I agree with the way you're looking at it. It's just who's more likely to get to the finals. The Celtics are more likely to get there. If it's Boston and OKC, I personally would take OKC. I would disagree with you on that. They're both healthy. It's best on best. I would take Oklahoma City over the Celtics. But I acknowledge the Thunder have a way tougher path to get there. And the Celtics are much more likely to get there. So if you're playing the odds, the Celtics will be there. I'm not sure the Thunder will. I get that logic. I would take the field over the Celtics based purely on OKC being the best team in the league and better head-to-head. When they played them this year, they got to get there. But I do think the Celtics have a relatively wide-open path to get there. I don't want to call it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was easy. When you're missing superstars on the other side, they're injured, they're not even playing, that's easy. And that's historically a joke.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they get healthy teams this year, Orlando's healthy, New York / Detroit is healthy in round two, Cleveland's healthy in the finals, I'm not going to call it easy. I do think it's wide open, but that's a credit to the Celtics. They're just that much better than the rest of the Eastern Conference. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on all this. We have a WrestleMania preview at 1 o'clock with Jason Rossi. We have the Week in Review at 1245, so stay tuned for that. You can jump in on whether or not Tatum is properly appreciated, underappreciated, is he taken for granted, which was surmised by Stephen A. Smith earlier this week? And would you take the Celtics or the field? Keith's taking the Celtics. I'm taking the field. We can dive into that with more as the Celtics begin their title defense this weekend against the Orlando Magic. It all comes your way right after Trending with Bill.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Mazzulla, ready for the Celtics title defense. Although we touched on this earlier, Keith. Do we love that he's switching films? I thought the town was kind of his go-to. Now he's switching to.
I'm okay with it because same leading man is a Ben Affleck joint. Both of them. I don't know if he celebrates his entire catalog or just the ones where he's a little bit more aggressive. But the town, the accountant, the accountant too.
Rocked.
I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. He clearly has a type.
I got to be honest. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like switching your film.
This is the not f***ing around crew.
You're supposed to be superstitious and defending
your
title.
He's just
title,
a little
Keith.
Stitious, and it's Ben Affleck.
Now, I guess
he watches Ben Affleck movies, puts him in the right headspace.
I guess you could throw in my face. He was watching The Town long before they won last year. There was a bunch of times where The Town didn't really get it done for him.
Yeah. This guy we're going to take.
That is true. That is true.
It's not like it's airtight.
No, he's got a way about him, though, that Joe Mazzulla.
That was our guy, Joe Mazzulla, though.
And this is a fun time because it's a yearly reminder.
On PMT.
For the most, he does a good job with those guys. They do a good job with him, however you want to look at it. But this happened last year where everybody else outside of Boston gets a whiff of what Joe Mazzulla sounds like, and everybody goes crazy. Like, wow. Twitter last year during, the final run was like, what does this guy say? Like, who's this guy? And it's like, yeah, it's Joe Mazzulla. This is what he sounds like.
So, yeah, there might be some Joe Mazzulla material that we'll need to pounce on. We may need to do that during the course of the postseason. Just speaking of Mazzulla, quick, and you guys can dial us up on the Celtics and their title defense, which begins on Sunday against Orlando. Celtics are the field. Jason Tatum, if he's underappreciated. I forget who wrote this for ESPN. Kevin Pelton, maybe we talked about it earlier in the week. people under the most pressure, people with most to prove in the postseason. You know, Jaylen Brown was on the list just given his health. That was really the only question with Jaylen. Tatum actually wasn't on the list, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Mazzulla was, though. And this whole postseason is going to be a referendum on how they play Mazzulla ball, launching all the threes. They did that a year ago, but they've leaned even more in on it. They set the record for threes made this year. They shattered records for most threes in franchise history and things like this. And so Mazzulla has a lot to prove in this postseason. Do you agree with that?
No. I don't think Mazzulla does. I kind of don't think coaches
do. What I was going to say. If they lose,
yeah,
it's far more likely that I, anyway, will look at Tatum or Brown's health or something. It's far more likely for me I'll be looking at those guys than like, oh, yeah, Mazzulla ball didn't really work.
No.
Now, they might shoot too many threes, and I'm sure there will be games where I go, boy, they really fell in love with long jumpers and three-point jumpers when it wasn't falling for them. Why didn't they look at it differently? I'm not saying no criticism, but yeah. I don't think that's going to be the first guy I look at if they come up short.
No, and it seems like you could win 2-3 titles in a row, and then the best player all of a sudden wakes up one day and doesn't like you, and you're gone as a coach anyway. And you're like, well, I did everything right. Like, look at some of these coaches this year. Mike Malone just won a title a couple years ago, and the season's almost over. They're the 4th seed in the West, and he gets fired. And so you're like, well, they didn't win back-to-back, and he's gone. I just think coaches are so – what was the stat Terp had a couple weeks ago that Mazzulla is one of the most tenured coaches in the NBA? Or like, he's like fifth or sixth, something insane.
It's like,
there's only a few guys that have coached their team longer than Mazzulla.
Popovich, I guess.
Spoelstra, Kerr.
But even Popovich is like – I mean, who knows how much longer he's coaching for?
True.
But yeah, Kerr, Spoelstra, and then there's not too many coaches with more tenure than Mazzulla after those guys.
So that's why I think it's hard to put them on any kind of list when you're looking at, like, if you're including everybody and you're including players, like, if you're doing, like, top 10 guys with, like, the most pressure going into the playoffs, I don't think any of them should be coaches. I think they're all players.
I also would say the way the Celtics play, that's not, like, I know we call it Mazzulla ball. That's not really Mazzulla. It's very, very similar to the Red Sox and Driveline and analytics and everything else when we talk about that.
Yeah, Udoka's team looked pretty similar when he was here.
And this is Brad Stevens and the way he wants them to play and their analysts want them to play. And, like, that goes above Mazzulla.
They're not going to do this, but if they hypothetically fired Mazzulla today and they had a new guy coaching on Sunday, you think they're taking less threes?
They might take more.
Yeah, they might.
Exactly. You know, Brad and the people upstairs may look at it and go,
fire away.
They don't even shoot enough threes with Mazzulla. I mean, I guess that's possible. So, like, I think that...
Yeah, so it's not that.
I don't think Joe Mazzulla hatched that up. I think that comes from above Mazzulla. I'm sure he agrees with the way they play.
Yeah.
But I think that comes from above Mazzulla. If the players let him down, I mean, look, your job is to motivate them and get the most out of them, but, like, I'll look more at the players than him. I don't know how much he has to prove in that way, but if they're bombs away and they're knocked out by, like, the Knicks in round two,
right.
I mean, he's going to be a guy who's going to be feeling some heat.
Sure.
Side topic with Mazzulla. Mego wrote this today, WEEI. You can check it out, WEEI.com or on the Odyssey app. Mego says that Joe Mazzulla is the best coach in town. I think that's probably true, right? I mean, who would you give that to?
Well, I mean,
there's only three of them right
there's,
now.
That's
true. You don't have
– it's not the Bruins.
Sacco's out.
Cross the Bruins coach out.
Is it Vrabel or Cora?
I mean, Cora won a World Series, but there's been too many downs.
Mazzulla's won a title.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, Vrabel never won a title. We're taking what he did in Tennessee, got to an AFC championship game. I would say he is, in my mind, a good coach. You know, there's definitely a bunch of guys in the NFL that have accomplished a lot more than him. I guess it really depends on how you feel about Cora. And, you know, he's had some down seasons, but he's never had the talent that Mazzulla's had. Mazzulla's had more talent than the other two guys.
I think Cora has had the talent Mazzulla had, and when he had it, they won
18.
In 2018.
Right.
Yeah,
okay, right. But I'm saying recently, like on those last place finishes, or even the last year's third place finish, you know, 81 and 81 that roster.
They're similar in that we'll give them arguably the most talented roster in the history of the franchise, and you can win a championship, but so could a lot of people.
Yeah, sure, I'll say Mazzulla.
Okay.
That's fine.
Mazzulla. Jaylen Brown, Keith, we spent some time talking about his injury and the question hanging over the team, which I do think we're just not going to have an answer until they get out on the court. How healthy is he? What can they get out of him? If you get the Jaylen Brown from March, where he averaged 18 a game and poor efficiency, then I don't know that you can win a title if that's the Jaylen Brown you get. If he gets some time off and he's even, you know, rested against Orlando, I think he's going to play in game one. But I said, if he's out there hobbling around in game one, I'd shut him down after that for the rest of the series and give him as much rest as I can going into round two. But you know, when we talk about Celtics or the field and their chances of repeating, Jaylen Brown's a big question mark in the middle of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the single biggest issue facing the team right now. It's not an issue for the Magic series, but we'll get a good indication on if it's going to be a lingering issue for the whole postseason. You know, the postseason in the NBA is obviously stretched out. You have 2 days off in between game one and two, and both these games are at the Garden, right? So just to sort of speak to how long this is going to take, there is some time for these guys to rest up a little bit. But if he plays 20 minutes or 25 minutes and, you know, you can kind of tell he's still laboring a little bit, that doesn't project well for the Cavs series in a month and a half when you might really need him, or the NBA Finals with whoever comes out of the West. So, yeah, that's the main thing to watch. Like on Sunday, it's do the Celtics win by 14 or more to cover your spreads, or is it how does Jaylen Brown look? You know, and even if he doesn't shoot great, if he's like full go and like everything, you just like eye test it, and you're like, all right, he looks all right.
How's he moving?
Yeah, right.
That's really what right. If he,
I don't need like a stat number. I just need to see what he looks like.
If he's missing some shots, you know, we can evaluate those as they come. Does he look right? And I am worried about that, but we're not going to get an answer until we see it on Sunday against the Magic. Speaking of the poor efficiency, and Jaylen was poor.
Yeah.
Text here, 617-779-7937. People talk about Tatum like he didn't even play in the playoffs last year. 25-10-6, nearly averaged a triple-double, one of the best players in the NBA, end of story. Well, no one's arguing he's one of the best players, but he wasn't the best player on the team. How do I know? He didn't win the conference finals MVP or the finals MVP. Let's just start with that as a shorthand. Do I overrate how bad Tatum was? Perhaps.
Yeah.
He did lead the team last year in points and rebounds and assists. Stop me if you've heard that before. In a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
He also touches the ball more than everybody else. And his numbers are pretty much all down from the postseason prior to that. Just FYI.
Well, not only that, but like his regular season points were higher. And like you see a lot of times where guys kind of take it to that next level. So even if they put up great regular season numbers, if you look at guys like Kobe, right? Like then look what they do in the playoffs. And usually that number increases.
So his numbers were down from the postseason prior, really the last two postseasons. Although, in fairness, he cut his turnovers basically in half from when they went to the finals in 2022.
True. Yeah, that was a big knock on the Warriors. Him and Jaylen Brown.
Here's what I say Tatum didn't have a good postseason. It's almost purely about his shot. He shot poorly, and we all know it. You guys all knew it.
Yeah,
opener against the Knicks, when he came out and he made however many threes, I guess his shot isn't broken is all we heard.
Right. Yeah, because he worked with somebody, right? Didn't he have like a shot coach?
Well, he's been working with Drew Hanlon, for most of his career. But, you know, people came in, and when he hit all those threes in the opener against New York, it's like, oh, I guess his shot isn't broken. Which was, I thought, an acknowledgement from fans that he didn't shoot it well in the postseason, because he didn't. But for some reason, people like that texter want to fight that. In the playoffs last year, he shot under 43% from the floor and 28% from three.
Right.
That was on 7 threes a game.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So that when we're talking about Tatum, there are other things he does well. He is a good rebounder. I think he's excellent at passing out of double and triple teams when teams, as they do with most stars in the NBA, mm-hmm. throw double and triple teams at guys. Right. I think he's excellent at finding the open guy. So he's more than just a scorer, but the main thing you lean on him for, as you do with most of the best players in the league, is the scoring and the shooting. That was down last year. So that needs to bounce back this year, I think, for them to win. And he's capable of it. He can do it. Let's find out if he's going to do it. If he does, I think the perspective on him changes a lot.
Well, not only that, it feels like, let's say Jaylen Brown is okay, but like the chances of him being 100% when he's taking shots to the knee and everything is pretty tough to envision. So doesn't that put even a little bit more pressure on Tatum? We're like, all right, you kind of have to do it. Like, here's an opportunity. Jaylen Brown might not be able to bail you out with some of his monster games. Even if he plays, he might be a step worse than he normally is, which means, all right, if Tatum kind of ups his game, right? Because we were talking about, hey, if Jaylen Brown doesn't play as well as he did last year, do they win the finals? Well, maybe if like a couple of the other guys play a little bit better, right? Like if Porzingis is there and he plays a little bit better, or you get like good Derek White games, or more to the point, Jason Tatum plays to his level, what he's capable of, then you probably do still win.
There's a little more margin for error for sure. Let's go to the phones. Our pal John is in the car. Long time no speak, John. What's up?
Yeah, I know. Rare scheduled off day here for me, so I get to hear chime in with you guys. I appreciate the hoops talk. I am concerned that Jaylen Brown is going to be similar to Robert Williams in terms of minutes and managing in terms of like time. Like, you know, if that's going to be the situation, yeah, I think when it gets to the Cavs, that's certainly going to be a problem. I think that's when it will ultimately be an issue. But, you know, I think that the Tatum stuff you guys are talking about and the disrespect, like, he's definitely the most highly scrutinized person, I think, in the NBA in terms of top 10 players. And I think this year he's shown that he can score more and more consistently throughout the season. He's upped that game. I think he's upped everything just a little bit. And I think potentially this playoffs is when he could step up. If Jaylen's going to be out, he could step up okay. and be the big time scorer and still produce as the, like the stuff that you just said there, Jones.
Okay,
like,
well, John, if he does it, then I agree. People should back off. Do you think he's the most scrutinized player in the top 10?
I was just trying to think of who it is. Is it Giannis, or have people kind of like moved on from Giannis? I mean, I think there was a time where Giannis was.
Do people talk about Giannis anymore?
No, I know. He's kind
well,
of
but
like,
when
forgotten.
We do, hang on. But when we do, we're both like, that guy's a loser.
Yeah.
So like, I
Giannis is up there.
Well, Giannis has won just as many titles right. as Tatum. And I think he's a loser. So
right.
like
he's like a multi-time regular season MVP.
It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
Honestly, that's the softest thing ever.
At that point, I was like, let's stop thinking about this guy.
That is the softest thing I've ever heard. So I like
Giannis is up there. I mean, I guess Tatum is.
I don't know. I think Giannis gets way more than him.
LeBron?
Even Luka.
Luka gets
fat
ripped.
Cow.
Everybody
like, I mean,
got
I,
mad
yeah,
at Luka.
Like, I don't know. I don't think Tatum's the most criticized in the top 10. I don't. I'd push back
Joel
on John
Embiid.
There.
Although he's a long way from the top 10 at this point of his career.
But no, I mean, if Tatum does it, let's say John's right, and yeah. he has upped his game just a little bit this regular season across the board. He probably has.
Okay.
You got to do that in the postseason. Keep doing it, and then we'll all shut up.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can weigh in there. We have a WrestleMania preview with yes. Jason Rossi at 1 o'clock. Don't miss it. And coming up next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Week in review.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get
we
the
gotta
chainsaw!
Go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, what a weekend is bad here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. And Jones, we were excited to add a new feature within a feature this year, this baseball season, in the grab bag, we were going to do the Hogdale call the game. If you don't know Hogdale at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
Seriously.
Guy's an electric factory.
Educate yourself.
He does the games on Twitch. It's definitely copyright friendly. Don't worry. Don't even look into that. But he does the games. He sounds like this.
Story rips this one left field high and deep. This is going to carry all the way out. Holy sh-
He's aggressive, right? So he works a little blue, but that's part of the reason why we like him.
Uh-huh.
Problem is, Sox at the beginning of the week were on a losing streak. We weren't getting any Hogdale calls, so we were a little upset about it. I'll go Pepio. Why wouldn't you? This is one thing that you have to do. Yeah. Now, please bet responsibly, but I would go every single game with this.
I got to be honest.
For a month.
Wouldn't really bet responsibly with this one. I'd just go
aggressively.
I'd go Hogdale on this.
Hogdale on this?
Yeah.
Oh, do we probably don't have a Hogdale call today, do we?
The Campbell home run, maybe?
Did he call that? He might quit.
Yeah,
they might kill Hogdale. Red Sox need to turn this thing around, or Hogdale is going to be
our precious Hogdale is not going to last much
longer.
Don't
you do this to Hogdale. Hogdale has to start doing Dodger games just so you get excited again. I don't want sad Hogdale calls of the day.
No, well.
That'd be
Maybe we do.
We get emo Hogdale on a losing streak.
Poor
just
fella.
Just so sad.
The guy's just starved for wins.
I know. He had a good call the other day, though. So hopefully this White Sox series, the bats get hot, and it's just Hogdale calls all over the place. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, I know Nick
playing
is
a pop-up.
Yeah, Nick is all in on the dad strength of Bregman this weekend whenever he comes back. So
are you going Bregman, dog,
maybe we get
on
some
Friday?
Of that.
It's not,
or,
on, the board, it's not on the board today, but if it's on there eventually, I will.
Okay.
Dad strength.
Dad strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I would get dad strength. I don't think
so. No, I went the other way.
Weaker.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was just saying something. I got even weaker somehow. Yeah.
A good would you rather this week with the draft coming up.
If you were going to be a first round pick, would you rather attend the draft or stay at home?
Easy.
I mean,
I'm going to the draft.
What?
Yeah.
You are?
You're not?
Oh, I'm a stay at home guy.
Why?
I would never leave the house if I didn't have to.
I mean, in most cases, I agree with that, but I don't have to do this every year.
You do draft party. Do draft party at the house. You have to leave.
Yeah.
Suit.
And then that way, like, you know you're going in the first round, but you don't know if you're going 1, 2, 5,
but,
or 25.
But hang on, Keith. You also love free food. I imagine.
They'll cater it.
We're about to be a first-round pick, for God's sake. So you're going
to... Rich is going to have to pay for the food if he's having a party for his draft?
Yeah,
he's going to bring something.
People will be, potluck.
You're doing a potluck draft?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
No.
You bring the beers.
You show up, you ravage the free
food. You bring the beers.
On draft night.
Draft day is too stuffy. I don't want to sit there in a suit or any kind of clothes with pants. No. I'm wearing sweatpants.
I think you could wear sweatpants.
You'd be the first. That's what Jones would be known for.
Yeah.
They'd be showing the clip 10 the years, 15 years later. Remember the guy that wore the sweatsuit there?
So
the grayest of sweatpants.
I still maintain, I think your crew at your table at the draft actually would be better than at a draft party.
Yeah.
Because at a draft party, now your wife's inviting people, and there's family, and there's friends, and there's friends of friends, and there's hangers-on, and there's all this.
No, that's a good point. I guess you have to control that invite list a little bit.
And I have no say in that.
No, you
I'd
don't.
Have zero say in that.
No, I guess that's a fair point. All right, it was also a huge week for women, as a whole bunch of women were blasted into outer space, and really, they're all heroes. And so we were discussing a little bit of the Blue
Origins.
Strong.
They're strong, beautiful women is what they are.
Katy Perry is now an astronaut. Yes. All right, so there's been some new information.
Hang on. First of all, haven't we done this? Space or deep ocean?
No, but this is specific. This isn't like... You
go I already answered space.
No. Okay. But this isn't the moon.
Real random baseball player situation going on
No,
here.
It's not. This is topical to what's going on in the world today.
I already answered space.
So, but let me throw this at you. It's not like a trip around space like you're on the moon or you get to be the first person on the moon.
This I see is, what you're saying. I'm going
you go
to
up
low...
Like, yeah, for Katy Perry for 4 minutes. Well, hey. What do I do with the other 3.5 minutes? No, but so this
sick brag, bro.
Honestly, nice. No one would ever hear the end of it. 4 minutes.
I would have
Katy
a
Perry.
Lot to say.
My wife would be impressed.
She'd write
that.
Songs about it. How do you think the history books are going to look at this week for women specifically?
Yeah, they're brave, strong women. I think
they
is
were
how
all
that's
up in the sky.
At. Yeah.
They had a nice time. I thought we were also going to get into. There's a Keefspiracy out there.
Oh,
that this was faked.
Yeah.
Because they opened the door when they landed, and then they immediately
from the inside.
Shut from the inside.
The brave, strong women opened it from
brave,
the inside, and then another woman ran
Somebody
over.
Somebody ran
whoa,
over
whoa, whoa,
the
whoa,
stop. And then Jeff Bezos came walking out with some sort of instrument to open the door,
yes.
To which they were like, now they're here. They're kissing the ground and whatnot.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay.
We had Field Yates on the show, draft expert Field Yates.
Good get.
From ESPN, and asking him about the Patriots draft.
Best case scenario would probably be one of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter falling to 4. And they're really picking 3, right? So it's really because the Titans, Cam Ward, that's done. And the Patriots obviously would not be in a quarterback market. I guess the only other – I've in my own brain kind of landed on the Patriots taking one of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Will Campbell. That's where I have landed. It's not that I have their draft board. I'm just using my own sort of – instincts and the positional need and where I have these players rated. So the number of outcomes I've considered is pretty low. It's 2 kind of. So I guess by default, that makes worst case scenario, not one of those guys being available. But you know, Will Campbell's the 5th player on my board. Like I don't feel like this is some, you know, catastrophic, that would be some sort of catastrophic event or reality for the Patriots. If that's how things fall, like it's a huge need for the Patriots. And I think is a darn good player. So, you know, the worst case scenario, I think, is probably, you know, winning that game in week 18 where you're in this setup just in the first place. Right. But, you know, that's long behind us. And I don't think that within the construct of where they are and what I think is likely to happen, there's some terrible outcome here.
How about that? He's saying pretty good. Things are going to be good for the Pats no matter
what. He's happy with their landing spot. Unlike, I think most of us out there don't really like where the Patriots are picking, but he thinks it's an okay spot.
And lastly, in our week in review, yesterday during the crossover, we had both Hart and Fitzy in studio, and Fitzy was talking about his experience with his 2 sons seeing the number one movie in the world movie.
By far.
Is taking over the world, and Fitzy had a chance to see it with his own eyes.
I'll do 35 minutes on why you shouldn't see a Minecraft movie.
No good, huh? Did the kids go crazy with what is it?
Chicken jockey?
I got to just say real quick.
Chicken jockey.
So,
I had so much fun with my 7-year-old, my 12-year-old, and his best friend watching it. But the kids go crazy, shout stuff out, Flint and Steel, chicken jockey. They're yelling the whole movie. It's a Rocky Horror Picture Show. At the end of the movie, when Jason Momoa and the chicken jockey and the little Frankenstein all wrestle, a couple of high school kids behind me, maybe aged your son's age. It wasn't your son, though. I can verify. Stood up. Threw a bucket of popcorn across the movie theater and a real dead chicken foot.
Whoa, I love it. It's like you're going to like a hockey game and they're throwing squid.
That's like a hex. I think you have a curse on you now.
Yeah, exactly. No, people say this is like a wild time now. They love it. It's made like $300 million worldwide already.
If I get hit with a real chicken foot, I'd be pissed.
Little popcorn, okay. That's kind of gross. Andy, what if you get paid $10 an hour to clean movie theaters like I used to and you have to get literally have salmonella foot right there?
Do the chickens have large talons?
Damn kids.
Okay.
That sounds fun. So there is the other side of that. Fitzy brings up a good point.
Okay.
These poor guys, they got to clean up the theater after these guys go wild.
Okay, so would I want to do that if I worked in a theater? No.
No.
But I also don't want to do anything when I'm a high schooler working and just trying to make $10 an hour.
It's a yin and a yang, though, because this movie is saving movies. People are showing up.
So, like, chicken feet, that's too far. Throwing some popcorn around to get actual literal asses in the seats.
People are bringing live chickens.
People showing up.
Oh. People are bringing live chickens and letting them loose.
People hit, riding each other's shoulders with throwing chickens in the air.
They're throwing real chickens around.
But like, you know, some 15-year-old has to go vacuum the movie theater to get actual business in there. That's probably a win-win.
Although with egg prices today, I'd take one of those chickens home. Get a little pen for them outside. I got myself a dozen eggs.
And I think right out of the hen.
Fights over live chickens at the Minecraft movie.
Right out of the hen, I think, is a better egg.
100% it is.
Much richer, tastier egg.
Mine would be,
from what I've heard.
Mine would be free range. They would be getting their outdoor space.
Yep.
They would be eating grass and whatever else they want to eat.
Don't you have a bunch of measles and stuff around them?
Yeah, the ermines. I had ermines. Your ermines would probably take them down.
Yeah.
My dog would take one down.
Giant beehive.
My dog would be like, I don't know.
You can keep the chickens in my house. It'll be fine with my dog.
Yeah,
that's fine. You don't have to worry about him.
He's a vegetarian.
He could pick up the eggs safely.
Yes, he could.
Carries over the egg.
He's going to be great at
Easter. Doesn't even break the shell.
Just got to gum the egg. Bring
it over. My God, your dog's got into the egg. Fine.
It's fine.
A toothless, fine.
He's actually great at this.
He's very gentle.
This is his thing. All right, there you go. There's our week in review here on this fine week.
What a week it was.
Mm-hmm.
Every week here on Jones and Keefe, 12:45 on a Friday. All right, you guys can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number for Jones and Keefe. And stay tuned.